Morning. It's good to have you here today. And my word of welcome to our visitors. We're grateful for your presence. We hope you can come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And if we can answer any questions from anyone, we'd be happy to do that. We want to encourage you every way that we can in the things of God. And so we invite you to get a Bible and join us as we study from God's Word for a few moments this morning to assist us in better knowing God's will for our lives, that we might then in turn conform our hearts and our lives to His will in every way that we possibly can. And so, with that said, it might be that someone's here this morning who is not a Christian. And if that's the case, we want to encourage you to, in faith, obey the gospel of Jesus and be saved from your past sins. As Christ died on the cross, as we discussed and sang about this morning already, that through His stripes we are healed, that you might obtain that healing for yourself today. Today, if you will in faith repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, then the benefit of the stripes of Christ, of the death of Jesus, will be applied and your sins will be washed away. And you'll be raised to walk in new life in fellowship with God, now with the sure hope of heaven when this life is over. If you're a Christian and sin has intruded in your life, you've chosen those things that are against the will of God, and we urge you to put them off, put them away, return in heart and life to Jesus. As Christians, to confess our sin, to repent of it, and in prayer seeking God's forgiveness, He's assured that to us, and we urge that of any who might be under that need this very moment. We want to discuss, as we appreciate Seth reading for us, something that occurred in the text in 1 Samuel 20, 24 through 27, as it was the common practice every month for the king to have a new moon feast. The son of Jesse was expected to sit at the king's table, but the king, Saul, was pursuing David's life. David was trying to convince Jonathan that was the case, and so stayed away from the feast. But the thing I want you to note in it is that because David was absent, his seat was empty, the king knew something must be wrong. First he thought, well, surely he's unclean. And then when he was not there a second time, he then questions his son Jonathan about the matter. You see, Saul missed David because David was not where he normally was. He was not where he regularly was. And his presence had an impact, had an influence upon the king and upon everyone else. So you see, the question comes to you and me is, what impact does our presence have upon this congregation? And would you be missed when your seat is empty? You see, back in that same text, in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel and the 18th verse, it has Jonathan saying to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty." David would be missed because David was always there. Question for me and for you is, when we do not occupy our place, and I'm not just talking about your assigned place in the pews. Oh yeah, I know you've got them because you sit there all the time, whether your name's there or not, right? Most of the time. No, we're not just talking about sitting in a pew. We're talking about, are we in our assigned place? There's an application there, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But in our life as Christians, are we in our appointed and regular places, fulfilling the particular responsibilities that God places upon us in such a way and to such a degree that when we are not there, we are missed? That the strength of our presence and faithfulness and dependability of being present in those responsibilities, that it makes an impact when we are not there? Or does the regular absence of us from the responsibilities, the places that we've been assigned, indicate a doubt or a spiritual weakness in our life. Perhaps an apathy or negligent attitude that is being expressed by our absence. So it is a call today for us to examine ourselves very carefully and our faith very soberly, as we ask ourselves, each of us, the question, would I be missed because of not being where I regularly am and ought to be? You see, when we're filling our respective places, like David, we will be missed when we're not there. Back in, David knew that. Go back to verse 5 in the context. David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat." David accepted the responsibility and knew that it would be seen that he was not in his place. Sometimes I think that we don't realize the reality of the influence and impact we have on others when we are not in our place. When we are not where we ought to be, fulfilling the responsibilities that we have before God, it is observable. It has an impact upon who we are in the eyes of others. You see, we ought to be missed because we bring to wherever our place is a measure of dependability and stability and faithfulness and responsibility that then enhances all of God's people. So, there is an application to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. You see, it begins in 24 when he says, "Let us consider one another, therefore, to stir up unto love and good works." It ought to be that we are in our place, if you please, that we are not forsaking, abandoning the assembling of ourselves together, but rather provoking love and good works by our presence and by our exhortations, so that when we're not there, immediately there is a question, where is brother so-and-so, or where is sister so-and-so? Because their seat is empty. Because they're here, and now they're not. And something must be detaining them. Something must be wrong. Are you regularly in your appointed place? You see, we have appointments. We have responsibilities and requirements with God that we must keep. It goes beyond even the idea of a responsibility toward one another. Whether it is in the assembling of ourselves to worship or the other things that we'll be discussing, fundamentally it comes to, am I in my place where I ought to be with God? So that when I am not there, there is an impact that is observable, and not that we desire that, but that we ought to continue to be there. You see, that we want to by our presence and meeting the responsibility that we have before God, show a faith and a gratitude and a trustworthy obedience so that we keep the appointments God has set before us. You know, God is faithful. And in James 1:17, we have this noted as a point of illustration. In contrast, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no variation with God. No shadow of turning. No, He's here for a little while and then you can't see Him. Then He's not present. Then He's here and then He's gone. But you see, if we are not regularly in the places that God has appointed to us in our lives of faith as Christians, then we do not show the trustworthiness of the God whom we profess to serve. God is trustworthy, and He calls upon us as His servants, as Christians, to show a similar trustworthiness and gratitude, really that is an expression of our recognition that God is in His place. God is in His place. And so He expects us to be in ours. In Acts 10 and 33, Cornelius, when directed by the messenger of God to make arrangements and bring Peter to him, that he had words that he needed to speak to him, that when that occasion occurred, when Peter arrived, he said, "We are all here present in the sight of God, or all here present before God, to hear all the things commanded you by God." So he accepted that they were in the presence of God assembled on that occasion to hear the word of God, the things God had commanded of them. And this is just strengthens the point we're discussing, is that, you see, we should regularly be in our appointed places in our lives, whether it be in worship or in these other things we're going to speak to, because, again, God is faithful. We are living before God, and we are answerable to Him. He has a word that He's spoken to us that we must hear, and the idea not merely of listening to, but then living, and so having a faith of service and obedience to Him. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. There is an appointment that we ought to keep concerning salvation. You see, Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says, "Though He, Jesus, was a Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him." Now, we ought to keep the appointment or the responsibility of obeying Christ in order to be saved. And He calls us to salvation. He wants us in our place. He by the Christ, is seeking to lead many sons to glory. Hebrews chapter 2. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus, you're not in the place you ought to be. God wants you in the place of salvation. He calls you by His Son, through His gospel, to become a Christian. And do not deceive yourself that you do not have to obey the gospel and somehow you'll go to heaven. There is a place appointed. It's in the Son, in our obedience to Him. Yes, we have an appointment of worship that we need to meet and regularly be in our place. In Psalm 122 and verses 1 and 2, 122nd Psalm, David wrote, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Now, the symbolism is of the people coming up, walking up to the house of the Lord. At that time, David put the ark in a tent in Jerusalem. This is before the temple was built. But David saw the great joy of gladness ringing in his heart and among the people. That it was a joyous time to be in their place, to worship God, to come before and to the house of God. Well, the house of God today is the church. 1 Timothy 3:15, Hebrews chapter 3, whose house we are. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. But you see, as members of the house of God, God calls upon us not to forsake our place. You see, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God has assigned us particular opportunities, blessings, and responsibilities when we assemble to worship. And to not regularly be in our place is to, by that absence, have an impact, pardon me, an impact upon our brethren, as well as a statement about the place that we are not filling that we ought to fill. We have a place to fill. We have an appointment before God that honors Him and that helps our brethren and exhorts one another. And so we ought to be keeping our appointed place and assembling to worship God. We have an appointment of family responsibilities. That we need to be in our place. And we ought to be missed when we don't meet those responsibilities. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 says that if a man does not provide for his own, especially his own house, he is worse than an unbeliever. There is the responsibility towards family there, and speaking of the giving of care, providing the giving of provisions to one's own house, especially his household. You see, that just is reflective of the multitude of responsibilities, of places we fill as a husband or a wife, a father or mother, a daughter or son, see, a brother or a sister, a grandparent or grandchild, an aunt or an uncle, niece or nephew. And so it goes. You see, are we in our regular place? Are we in a place where we meet the responsibilities, and when we fail to do that, then we're missed because we're regularly there? All this really speaks to being a faithful steward of what has been put into our hands. God wants us, Christ teaches us to be faithful stewards in Luke 12, 42 through 44. He speaks of the wise steward in that context. It says, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him the portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he'll make him ruler over all he has. Now, the wise and faithful steward is in his place. You see, he's meeting the responsibilities his master gives him. And when the master returns, his master blesses him. But he says, if that servant says in his heart, verse 45, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking, in an hour he's not expecting, and he's going to cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. You see, there is the unfaithful and unwise steward who's no longer in his place, no longer meeting his appointments, his responsibilities. And so he is ill prepared for the master's return and falls under punishment because he did not care for those things that had been put under his responsibility. You see, God has given us appointments, given us a place to sit, if you please. The question for us is, are we missed or are we meeting those appointments? Are we keeping them? Are we fulfilling them? Let's look at a few here for a few moments. You see, are we, for instance, in a demonstration of love and friendship? Are you missed? Would you be missed if you are not in your place of showing love and friendship to others? Christians are to be true friends of one another. Really, we studied some even Wednesday night about brotherly love. And in John 13th chapter, we read that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So, a demonstration of brotherly kindness, brotherly affection, of the warm affection and tenderness that links us and bonds us together in common faith and common salvation and common service. To love not in word but in deed and truth, 1 John 3, 17 and 18. Are we in our place or are we missed? Are we in our place or have we removed ourselves from our place of showing love and showing friendship and showing kindness? We have so many things in common. That should never be an excuse to rationalize not showing such loving care and friendship among ourselves. In fact, we're to love fervently. Fervently love one another. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, the apostle said, above all these things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. It is a fervent love, abiding, that that addresses and helps overcome sin. One of the tremendous demonstrations of love, helping each other overcome the sins and the temptations and the trials of this present life. To be a friend, to be in our place, we got to be a friend. And it's when we are showing ourselves to be friends of others that we really are in our place in this respect. You see, it's as we lose ourselves in others, as we show ourselves friendly, as we do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Matthew 7:12. Then we begin to approach and begin to regularly be in our place concerning brotherly love, brotherly kindness, friendship among ourselves, strengthening the bond of faith and the bond of hope, the bond of God's people and God's family. If you're not in that place, then you're needed there. You need to be there, and you are needed there to fill those responsibilities in your own case, so that by showing yourself a friend, you also have the friends that help you through fervent love to do the next thing we're going to talk about, and that is encouragement. But you see, you're going to be missed if you're doing these things and then it no longer continues. You're missed. You see, we become dependent upon when we're in our place. For example, are you an encouragement to your brethren? We have a place where God wants us to be, a place of encouraging one another in truth and righteousness and godliness. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. James said, snatch some from the fire. I'm sorry, Jude did. Jude 22:23. Jude wrote, on some have compassion, making a distinction. On others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. So are we helping one another be faithful? Are you in your place? Can you be depended upon to be there, to be somebody who is giving encouragement to somebody burdened with a trial or needs compassion and pity, who needs rescuing because of sin and its temptations and its power and the death that it brings? Are you in your place? Are you in your place by active spiritual work in the kingdom of God? You see, it goes far beyond just being in your place in an assembly to our active participation among ourselves in the family of God and to those who are lost, even to be an encouragement and a help to them in their own salvation as well. In Romans 12:11-16, beginning in verse 11, the passage says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Here, as he talks about diligent service to God, you see how it folds into our service to one another and the encouragement and help that we give each other. He says we're praying and rejoicing in hope, and we're being patient, but we're distributing to the needs of the saints. We're having fellowship with each other in our needs, and blessing even our enemies who persecute us. We suffer with those who suffer. That is, he says, weep with those who weep. You know, when others suffer with us, it helps us endure. When someone weeps with us because of a painful experience or situation of life, it helps us endure. When others rejoice with us, it increases our joy. We need to be in our place offering and giving both to each other. By doing that, when you're not there, you're missed. But because you are there, you're depended upon. Now you're depended upon and of a benefit, you see. You're accomplishing the place in the body of Christ that you particularly have. You see each one rejoicing or weeping in every respect, helping to encourage one another, doing those things in the body of Christ that benefits all of the body. So you'll be missed when you're not that encouragement, when you're absent, as it were, from the giving of the encouragement that you ought to be given. But if you're not giving any encouragement to someone, then how are you being missed? How are you being missed? Would you be missed because you're dependable? Because you can be depended upon? Titus 3 and verse 1 says that to teach the brethren to be ready, to be ready for every good work. Now, to be ready to every good work implies really the idea of somebody who can be depended upon. To live the life of obedient faith that accomplishes the good work of God. So, are we in our place of dependability and trustworthiness? Well, how do we get to that place to begin with? In 2 Timothy 2, some things are said about this that indicates it is by the purging of our own sins and replacing our sin with faith and purity that we equip ourselves, we put ourselves in this place of being ready for every good work. And let's look at that verse, 2 Timothy 2, and beginning in verse 20. In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. In a home, in a house, he says there's some vessels that are made of fine materials, and there's others that are made of lesser material, that is, you know, wood and clay. Wood being distinguished from the gold and silver. Now, they each serve a purpose. But he says, so here, what's his point? Well, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is, from dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now he said in Titus 3:1, teach brethren to be ready for every good work. This verse says we've got to sanctify ourselves, putting away dishonor, putting away sin, so that we will be prepared for every good work. So to be prepared, to be ready for every good work, to be dependent upon to help accomplish the good works of God, we've got to purge ourselves of sin. We've got to flee also youthful lusts. Verse 22 says, but pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call the Lord out of a pure heart. As you are pursuing the purity of faith in your life, you are more and more dependable in the work of God. To your brethren, to the service of God, to the accomplishing the will of God. Are you in your place? Can you be depended upon because you're pursuing righteousness? You see, when we do that, we can be depended on. Titus, or 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul told him to get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. There was a time when Paul felt like he couldn't depend upon Mark, John Mark, when he turned back and did not go with him to the work, Acts 13th chapter. But now, years later, he said, he's useful to me. Mark had grown in his faith to be dependable. You see, it begins with us addressing our sin. And then it is pursued by every day, adding to our faith virtue and our virtue knowledge and our knowledge self-control and our self-control kindness, brotherly kindness and love. You see, adding day by day, growing to this so that we're in our place of faithful dependability
Mark had grown. Paul saw that, knew that, and said, he's useful to me. Are you useful in the work of God? Are you in your place? Can you be dependent upon? If not, you can change that by removing the doubt, removing the sin, and pursuing righteousness. Do you go beyond what is expected of you? Or is your attitude to just meet the bare minimum? You see, who is the dependable person? Who do you turn to depend upon to get something done or to help you in some way? Is it not the person that you know will go beyond the minimum? Is it not the person that you know will give the time and attention that you're seeking to help in the situation? When Paul wrote Philemon, he said, having confidence in your obedience. Is it not the person that you have confidence in that you turn to in time of need, that know they're dependable? He says, I have confidence in your obedience as I write to you, knowing that you will even do more than I say. Is that the way we approach our life and our obedient faith and our service to Christ and to one another, to do even beyond what might be expected? You see, if that's the place we fill, we will be missed if we're not there. Because it's the regular description of who we are at the table of the Lord, in the house of God, at the table of our King, King Jesus. Would you be missed as a helper? You see, do we look out for our brethren? That is, look out to help, support the weak. He said, be long-suffering toward all. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. That verse really describes a number of situations. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient toward all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but rather always pursue what is both is good, both for yourselves and for all. Looking not to your own needs, but also to the needs of others. Philippians 2:3-4. Are you in your place as a helper? God's in His place. He says, I will in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. So that with confidence we may say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do to me? God's in His place. The question is, am I in my place as one who helps the people of God? Because you see, whenever we help others, we are helped. We are made better. Again, thinking of Mark, John Mark and Paul. You know, surely as John Mark would be a helper, useful in the service to the apostle, that would abound to Mark's blessing as well as Paul's. When we help somebody else, we are benefited. It's more blessed to give than to receive, as we studied in our lesson some even this morning. So when we don't do that, we're missed, because that's the regular place we occupy in the kingdom of God. And so it ought to be. You see, you are missed when you are not in your place in this congregation. God knows your place. God knows your... These are the points we discussed in the lesson. God knows your faithfulness, your friendship, your encouragement, your dependability, your helpfulness. God knows. We live before Him. All eyes are open, or all things are laid bare before the eyes of Him, and who we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Hebrews 6:10, the writer said, God is not negligent. Let's see. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unjust to forget. You see, God's in His place. He knows. He does not forget. Question is, am I in my place? Or have I made myself absent in some way? Maybe absent from worship, or absent from teaching, or being taught. Absent from being one who encourages, or
who stirs another up, who helps somebody who needs a particular assistance? Have I removed myself from that? If I have, then I need to repent. I need to change my heart. I need to get back to my regular place. Because you are missed. And you're needed. Each of us are needed in the house of God. Each of us are needed here at this congregation. Be assured that others, I want you to be assured, others count on you. Others count on you to be in your place. But when it's all said and done, God counts on you. You see, the King is on His throne, and He has assembled a feast. Are we in our place? God misses us if we're not in our place. Let us come to our place. Let us sit down at the table of our Lord in full faithfulness, in full service, knowing that He will not forget our labor of love and the service that we render to Him and to His people, so that by filling our places of responsibility, we give Him honor. We bring Him the praise and the strengthening of His body that simply gives more blessing, more honor to Him. If you're not in your place of salvation this morning, you need to be saved. I mentioned it earlier in the lesson. Today, you need to, in faith, repent. Confess your faith and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You need to do that now. We'll provide opportunity as we sing. If you'll just come forward and acknowledge your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that you repent of your sin, we'll baptize you into Christ. You'll be added by the Lord to His church. Your place at the feast, if you please. And then from that day forward, to fill and occupy that place for faithful service to the Lord. But if you've removed yourself from the place you ought to have, and you've begun serving other gods, then return to the true and living God. Repent as a Christian of every sin. He'll forgive. We urge you to respond to His call while we stand and while we sing.